just kidding. No.
Okay. Good morning. This is a continued meeting of the Colorado Title Setting Board. The time is 9:30, and the date is April the 5th, I think?
Third.
Wow. All right. April the 3rd, 9:30. We are moving on to proposed initiative 2013-2014, number 41. And if the proponent could come forward.
We did 41 yesterday.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm really... So that's why we took a break yesterday. Proposed initiative number 89. If the proponent could come forward. And just for the record, if you could identify yourself and your client.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board, Edward Greeny. I'm counsel for the proponents.
Hang on a second.
Sorry about that.
No, okay. Not your fault.
I'll do that again. Edward Ramey, counsel for the proponents for number 89, and the designated representatives, Ms. Leahy, and Mr. Diamond are also present again today. And I should say, just to save some time, I will be counsel from 89 plus 85 through 88 and 90 through 93, and the same designated representatives, Ms. Leahy and Mr. Diamond, are associated with them, so they're here for those as well.
Okay. So can you just start out by telling us your view of what the single subject is?
Yes. The single subject for number 89 is basically requiring state and local governments to protect Colorado's environment as trustees for the people. That's, by the way, my quick on-the-spot right. summary of it. If Ms. Tierney was here, for whom I'm substituting, she may word it slightly differently, but that's the essence.
Okay. All right. Any questions from the board? Can I make a motion? Is there anyone else who wishes to speak on the issue of single subject? No? All right.
This surprises me, by the way.
They all come back for the rehearing.
In 2 weeks, we will have extensive discussion over every word I just said.
So, I mean, we've already had one. One of the handful of cases that the Supreme Court has thrown out as violating the single subject requirement is something that dealt with the apparently overly broad concept of water, right?
Way back, yes.
So this now deals with not just water, but air, local versus state government, natural scenic values. How do you justify this being a single subject when water was not?
I'm going to drill into my recollection a little bit of those cases. This goes back even before my time, when those in re water cases appeared. As I recall, Mr. Domenico, and correct me if I'm wrong, because your recollection may be, you may have looked at them and may have a more accurate recollection, but as I recall, the topic of those cases was sort of stated as in re water. However, when you went through the measures themselves, and there were a couple of them, I think at least, did a variety of things. One is they created sort of a trust concept, such as we're doing here, where governmental bodies served as trustees for the protection of that element of the environment. But then they did other things. As I recall, and this is where I'm going to get a little bit inaccurate, I think, but as I recall, they also restructured some of the governmental agencies, and it may have been water boards or something of that nature, a number of people who would serve on the boards and how they would vote about various things and so forth. And the single subject problem was that, A, they created this public trusteeship. B, they did all this other stuff about water. And the proponents apparently argued if it has anything to do with water, it's a single subject. And that's not what we're doing here. We're trying to focus solely on the trusteeship concept.
So I think that's... that is about accurate with my recollection. That's where those are some of the cases where I think we get this idea of you can't make major substantive changes as well as sort of all these kind of complicated structural procedural changes. So that's what my follow-up then is So you make these major kind of trustee changes, trust changes in 1 and 2. And then in Section 3, right, you have the sort of undoing the current relationship between the state and local governments on these topics, at least, right? That now state law doesn't preempt local law. Is that not the sort of structural, procedural type of change that we should be concerned about?
I don't think so. And I could certainly see the argument. I mean, I think, Mr. Domenico, I would restate what you just stated a little bit. I think what the point of this measure is to confer upon all levels of government this trusteeship, if you will, both state and local. And then as part of the implementation is to say that the local governments can adopt, you know, stricter provisions. It doesn't say how they do it, you know, what sort of processes need to take place and how many members of a board of this or that in a local government get to do it or which local governments we're even talking about other than all of the ones specified in here. As I recall, the old measures were quite detailed. I mean, they literally took an existing I'm thinking it's a water board, though I may be wrong about that.
No, I think you're right. They were very complicated.
Yeah, and I mean, they really did restructure the operations of the organization. And all we're saying here is this trusteeship responsibility resides at all levels of government, and local governments are empowered as sort of an implementation provision, if you will, to adopt stricter measures than the state adopts in exercise of their portion of this trusteeship. And then we stop. We don't go any further in terms of how they would do that or whether there, you know, there may be interpretive questions that might arise from that. So I think it's different. I certainly understand your point, but I think we stop way short of what those old measures attempted to do.
Okay, thanks. I forgot to give my disclaimer, obviously.
Oh, I know who you are.
Yes. All right.
So,
good.
For the record,
just
please go ahead.
I want to get it on the record that obviously I'm defend the state, and that particular provision obviously would be something I, if it were to go to litigation, would I or my successor, my office, would end up on the opposite side. Just want to make sure everybody is aware that I'm aware and can take that into consideration. But thank you for your answers. I think I appreciate them.
Mr. Ramey, the question I have is, do subsections 1 or 2 of this actually have a legal, are they just declaration really, or do they have legal effect? I mean, section 3, I understand, has an effect that, you know, we have a sort of rule of decision in the event of conflicting state or local laws or regulations, and we give governments an affirmative power. In subsection 2, we say the state and local governments shall conserve Colorado's environment. Does this create like a right of, I don't know, an interested citizen or an environmental advocacy group to sue a local government if they don't feel like they're enacting stringent enough laws? What's the effect of that, or do you have any idea?
I do. I'm hesitant to go very far down that road, Mr. Gallander, with all respect, just because, you know, I think that maybe I'm a little skittish after reading a Tenth Circuit opinion that came down within the last week or so that dealt with when private rights of action exist under federal law for citizens and when they don't. And they were talking about the spending clause there, and there was a split in the circuits. And it was, I mean, totally unrelated to this, but it's a fairly fascinating discussion. And I think you just asked, you know, a very complicated question to which I have a lot that I would say in response, but I think that really goes into the merits, and I'd rather not sort of preempt judicial interpretation of this measure. Bottom line, I guess I will go this far to say that when you make a governmental entity a trustee for the people to protect a right that the people have, which is what this does, that has an implication that necessarily didn't exist before. So I think the direction you're heading in with your question is somewhat accurate. However, I can see a court struggling with that question. To what extent does a citizen have a right to sue for failure of the governmental entity to honor their trusteeship responsibilities? And I'm just very hesitant to launch blindly down that road with the panel this morning.
Well, so maybe this is a little bit more straightforward, I hope. Subsection 1 declares that the environment is the common property of all Coloradans. Conservation of the environment, which it then defines as clean air, pure water, natural and scenic values. So, does that mean no more private ownership of any of those things?
No. I would be very surprised if this measure were interpreted in that manner, Mr. Domenico. But again, I'm not a court. You and I may be arguing that one of these days on the same or opposite side.
Well,
it would
right.
surprise me.
So I guess I'm trying to figure out what common property means then.
I would suggest, Mr. Domenico, that what that means is not property in terms of a property ownership interest, such as you own your house, but it's more of a right that the people hold and that they've entrusted by, in this measure, through conferral of a trustee responsibility to their local governments. And again, I would stop there. I don't think this measure would reasonably be interpreted as negating private property rights.
So I can't, my neighbors actually are building a big house next to us. I can't use this to preserve my scenic values that they're destroying with their big old construction project.
I think you can do that anyway in the Golden case.
I know.
Well, I mean, that, I think actually, Mr. Medico, that would be a very complicated question because, for example, and this is what frightens me about questions like this, I think localities can and frequently do adopt such things as bulk plane regulations and so forth. So if your neighbor's building a house that blocks your sunlight, a locality to protect the people's interest in the environment could adopt a regulation to limit and regulate that. I think they do it now, and they'd perhaps be more focused on doing that. So the answer to your question, maybe yes, you may benefit from something like this. But I don't think it permits, this measure should be interpreted as permitting local government to go in and decide they're going to tear down your neighbor's house and build a park there or something of that nature.
Too bad. All right.
I wouldn't want to be your neighbor.
No. I like having no neighbor. Nice open space. Somebody else paid for. All right. Well, so I guess I'm a little bit unclear, but I mean, I think we can write a title that just sort of adopts what it says. Mm-hmm. I don't think that is necessarily has to be interpreted to write a title.
Okay. All right. Should we deal with a single subject?
Yeah. And I think just to make a little bit more of a record on it, I think what I'll say is that while the implications of this may well be massive depending on how courts deal with it, I think all that we know about what this does is that it gives local governments, or perhaps clarifies, that they have the power to create more restrictive and protective environmental laws and regulations, in that we have sort of an interpretive rule for when there's a conflict between a local and a state one. I think that's all that we know that this does, and that's all connected to environmental preservation. Seems like a single subject to me, so I would move that we find a single subject for 2013-14, number 89.
Yeah, I mean, as my first couple questions telegraphed, I'm a little troubled that there's more to it than that, that you're both kind of, I mean, maybe it'll be interpreted just to sort of be not really meaningful, but it seems to me that subsection 1 is meant to do something, and it at least says that the environment is common property. and creates this trust idea, which, while it doesn't quite use some of the more technical language we've seen in the past about public trust, which has a real meaning and is a term of art, it uses that idea, it seems to me. And then, as I said, it also restructures, not just a rule of decision, restructures the current relationship on this topic between state and local governments. But I'm not entirely convinced that that amounts to a separate subject. It's pretty closely tied to it. It's a method of carrying out the goals that I think are fairly clear here. And so at this point, I'm willing to go along with finding a single subject.
So do you want to second it?
And was there a motion? I thought
there was.
Oh, well, then I guess, yes, I'll second the motion.
So all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, so we'll move on to the title. Where you want to start, I guess, with the subject. Mr. Ramey, do you have any comments on the title?
No, Madam Chair, this title actually is fine with us. It looks good as written.
Is there anyone else here who wants to comment on this? Okay. What do you think of the subject?
I'll comment on it. I don't love it. You know, the public rights statement, I don't know that we usually do a single subject that's essentially the legislative declaration.
Right.
I mean, it seems to me that simply conservation of Colorado's environment is closer to the actual single subject of what this does. As far as the specifications of what the environment includes, I don't have a problem with that. I don't know that we need it.
Yeah, I kind of think the subject is the local government's power, but.
So now we're highlighting my concern that we're arguing over what is the subject?
Well, I mean, that's really what it does.
Madam Chair,
Yeah,
I don't mean
please.
To interrupt. Please tell me if I interrupt.
Oh, no, just go ahead. And you're the only one here, so we can just have this conversation.
Okay, because I will stop if you. I would hesitate focusing, maybe Mr. Domenico is heading this direction as well, focusing on the effect upon the local government, because I think the key aspect of the measure is it confers a trusteeship responsibility upon all levels of government. That's one. That it sort of creates this trustee responsibility. Then, by way of implementation, it enables the local governments to adopt more restrictive measures. But the thrust of this measure is not intended to be primarily enhancement of local government in the grand scheme of things. That's just a piece of how the trusteeship relationship would work. So I think I'm saying this very inartfully, but I think the trust relationship to protect the environment at all levels of government is really the key factor to this.
I mean, I'm fine with that. If you have some language you think would kind of capture that a little more.
No, I don't object to Mr. Gallander's thought about shortening it or taking out purpose expressions that are in the title. That would be fine.
I guess I would ask the question as to whether to the average voter, the rather legal-easy term trustee is particularly helpful. I mean,
unless we're going to interpret it, it's important, I think. I agree with Mr. Ramey that that's kind of the most important aspect, one of the two most important aspects of it. So if we're not going to use it, I think we need to explain it, which starts to get difficult. But let me make one suggestion, I guess, or a question. One possibility would be if we want to use the non-concerning in connection therewith format that we use sometimes and go straight into something like an amendment to the Colorado Constitution creating a public trust over, call it the environment, et cetera, et cetera. Because the only alternative I was coming up with listening to Mr. Ramey was something like constant amendment concerning the creation of a public trust over the environment, which does raise a little bit of Mr. Gellender's question about whether people understand what a trust is.
Mr. Gellender, if I can respond also, I guess, to Mr. Domenico, I don't know quite how to define public trust. It'd be sort of like if we were proposing a due process clause. Please define due process. I don't know. There are a lot of things I could say. Actually, I don't want to say I don't know. There are a lot of things I could say and everybody could say. But this measure doesn't do that, and I think it's left. I mean, that's a term of art. I think I would suggest people do have a sense of what it means, and it will get sorted out as we go forward.
What about this? An amendment declaring that Colorado's environment is the common property of all Coloradans. And then moving on.
And this may be an institutional difficulty I'm having, because in my function, the main part of my job, I write legislation for the Colorado General Assembly. And when we do our titles, you know, one of the purposes of is we express a single subject and give the public essentially notice of the general purpose of what we're doing. And this has been sort of a two-day discussion now where I seem to be wanting to give the public some of that notice of purpose to some extent, and the remaining side is the others seem, no, we'll just say what it does. The problem is with the trustee bit and stuff is I don't know what it does. I don't think any of us, I don't know, is it fair, I guess my question is it fair to say that all these things, creating the trustee relationship, creating the common property statement, is all designed to conserve the environment? I mean, that seems to me to be the common thread, and whether it's felt to be a purpose rather than a subject, I mean, sometimes I think the purpose is the subject.
Yeah, well, and I just disagree. I mean, the subject is what it's about, not what its what its purpose is.
This fellow wants to speak up, I think.
Just needs to stand up. Okay.
But, I mean, one possibility that I've suggested in the past that some people that has a risk is using a very broad single subject, which is not meant to sort of tell you really anything about what it does, but just differentiate, oh, number 89 is the one about the environment. Now, we really have a difficulty this session clarifying or trying to write titles given the many different measures that have come forward from different groups. And part of our obligation is to keep them separate in the public's mind. So I'm not quite sure how we do that. But, you know, why would this one be conservation of Colorado's environment when the one suggesting a natural right to local self-government, which was clearly about basically the same thing, from a slightly different angle is not.
And I think the short answer is because every section of this measure uses the phrase in the declaration, right? We have declare that Colorado's environment is common property of all Colorados, conservation of Colorado's environment, and then there's a further description of what that means, should be protected, you know, is fundamental. So they're saying it's fundamental. Then in the second subsection, the obligation as trustees is, and it's mandatory, shall conserve Colorado's environment. And then down below, the reason the local governments have this power is to enact more restrictive laws is to facilitate the conservation of Colorado's environment. So that's why this one's different than
that. Well, I don't, it's about government power, too. So why don't we write that it's concerning government power?
All right. We have someone in the audience who signed up to speak. So Mr. Straubs, is it? Do you want to come up and make your statement?
My name is Richard Strauss. I'm just an individual. As far as what a the trusteeship is, trusteeship is in relation to the trust. The public trust it protects the public's interest in and control of water, or protects the public's interest in and control of the public natural resources, such as air, water, and wildlife. So,
right. That's kind of the public trust doctrine idea, right? Mm-hmm. Mr. Ramey has not been willing quite to tell us that that's what we're implementing here. And the point we're having is you might know that, and a lot of lawyers might know that, but the people we're writing for here are not lawyers or people who show up at title board hearings, but people who may not have heard of this measure until they walk into the voting booth. And the question I think Mr. Gellender had was, would they understand what we're trying to get across if we use that language? That's all. And I don't know the answer to that.
Well, I mean, given that, I'm almost inclined to just go with the statement that's up there. I mean, concerning a public right or a public trust, whichever. I mean, I don't want to say that it's about conservation.
Yeah, and I mean, my only concern with what's up there is a public right to the environment is just, well, just sounds very strange to me.
It's your very broad.
I don't have any idea what it means.
Well, I don't either, but every time you write one that's very broad to just capture everything.
Well, I mean, that was what this is why my the best way I could think of to do it was to sort of go straight into an amendment doing these list of things and not trying to kind of jam them into one subject statement.
Well, and I think I agree with that. If we go in and we say, you know, declaring the environment is common property and declaring that state and local government shall conserve and just use the language from the measure.
Right. I think it'd be basically adding one or two lines and changing it a little along the lines you just suggested.
Well, I'm going to say if we're going to do a laundry list, I don't see how we can we are required to find and set a single subject somewhere, whatever the format is. If we do a laundry list with different verbs, so one's declaring and, you know, I mean, for the other one, the conserving in subsection two, it seemed to be requiring would be the right verb since it says shall.
But it's declaring that state and local government shall. I mean, I don't know whether they shall.
Well, it already says requiring I mean, that's line three uses that language, requiring them right. as trustees. Well, I'm saying,
but there's a single subject first and the standard and connection they're with, and it's all trailer stuff. I mean, I think we do need to find some unifying theme for the thing. And, you know, if we really want to be bold and say that maybe the environment is not actually bigger than just water, maybe we can just say, you know, concern if we don't like conservation, concerning Colorado's environment and connection therewith.
Well, that's been the direction I've suggested in the past. I'm a little troubled this session especially because we're going to be spending all day today on things that have that same subject, right? And so, you know, when you only have one that's on, whatever, on marriage and one on water rights, then that's one thing. That's my only concern here. I generally like that idea, but I'm not sure it works this term.
We could say the public's right to regulate the environment, or I don't know, that's not all that.
I still think the key is what Mr. Ramey said, the creation of a public trust. I know that that's not totally meaningful, as I said a while ago, but the only other alternative that I can think of is something about common property, which gets across the idea of a public trust in a maybe more straightforward way, and of course is actually the first line of the measure.
Well, I'm not opposed to creating a public trust for Colorado's for the environment, or for Colorado's environment, or.
So I guess we would go with concerning the creation of a public trust.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the proper preposition is. Over of. Colorado's environment.
Okay. And I don't have a problem with the next line.
I'd kind of like to get the common property in there.
Kurt, do you have another comment? You need to just make your comments up front on the entire title. So if you want to come back up and offer any comments on the title, because then we're going to go into setting.
You mentioned creation. I would say that it's confirming the public trust.
Okay.
It's already been confirmed a lot. There's a lot of... There's a lot of federal law already on the books confirming the public trust. There's a number of them, so it's not we're not creating.
Well, you're creating it in the Constitution of Colorado. Yes. Yeah. So.
Well,
I'm fine with the next line, unless you have some. I mean, I do want to put in there that it declares the environment is common property.
Yeah, so I would start that right after in connection there with declaring that Colorado's environment is a common property of all Coloradans. And then I agree with you, the next line, the sort of definition is good.
No O. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I want to say it requires that state and local government, because we don't really know, you know, back to Mr. Domenico's point. I would rather say about who has the right to, I mean, does it really just say they can adopt laws that are more stringent, or does it say they're required to? I would rather say that it declares that state and local governments shall conserve Colorado's environment and just use the language of the measure. And then talk about what they're authorized to do. Somebody else thinks that it's clear enough they're really required to do it.
I mean, I'm probably okay with it as is, but I would also be willing to sort of go a little bit more with the language.
I would stick with the requiring because it says shall, which is very commonly just mandatory language, and I think it's if we're not getting into interpretation on this one, then I think it's interpretation to say that, or I guess, how'd I put it? Interpretation above and beyond sort of what shall is usually understood to mean, to say that it's non-binding.
Well, I don't think anybody suggested we should say it's not binding. The suggestion was, I think, just we could say declaring that as trustees, state and local government shall conserve. I'm okay with requiring because I agree it's that's how you make something require, how you require something is to use that kind of language, but I would also be okay with.
If you'd rather just track it, that's a few more words probably.
Yeah, that's, by me. That's where I am too.
Care.
Well, it's you. I mean, if you two are fine with requiring, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm all right either way.
So then,
so I just had a small question with the last line.
Okay.
I mean, local governments are already authorized to enact laws. The important change is that if they do,
and they
more restrictive always, right. No matter who's got the more restrictive, that's the key to subsection 3, it seems to me. I think what I was... I'm not sure this is great, but it would say something like declaring that if any state or local law, if state or local laws conflict, the more restrictive law or regulation governs.
Yeah, I like it. Let me read it the way it is right now. An amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning the creation of a public trust over Colorado's environment and in connection therewith declaring that Colorado's environment is the common property of all Coloradans, specifying that the environment includes clear air, pure water, and natural and scenic values, requiring state and local governments as trustees to conserve the environment, and declaring that if state or local laws conflict, the more restrictive law or regulation governs. So we need a semicolon up in 3.
After Coloradans.
Yeah. Any other comments on it?
I'm good with that.
Okay.
Then I'll move that we adopt the staff draft for number 89 as we've amended it as shown on the screen.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. That takes us to proposed initiative 2013-2014, number 85. And Mr. Ramey, do you want to just introduce yourself for the record and your proponents?
Certainly, Edward Ramey representing the proponents and the designated representatives. Again, Mr. Diamond, Ms. Leahy are present. And I'm substituting for Ms. Tierney, my law partner this morning, who is in Disney World, by the way.
Nice.
So you know who gets a short straw on that issue.
One of the few things better than the title board.
Ms. Tierney suggested there was a similarity before she left. I'm not sure.
I think we're being mocked again.
All sorts of fun.
And I guess I would just ask the board on jurisdictional issues first, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to respond.
And number 85 and 86, just for the record, would it be your intent to only submit one of those?
Yes.
If they're both approved?
I guess let me just say something about all of that. 85, 86, 87, and 88 are all quite similar.
Okay.
They're setback
right.
measures, and they have different setbacks, a few other modifications as well. 89 we just talked about, that sort of stands on its own. Then 90 through 93 is a packet as well.
Right.
It involves pretty much the same subject. There was also some discussion yesterday about some other measures that were submitted, which are versions of these as well, which are still pending. I think actually they're going to be filed with the Secretary of State. Some of them may be. They got waiver letters from Ledge Council. Based on the review and comments that happened here. So there's a whole packet of measures with little tweaks to them.
Mm-hmm.
Within those packets, at most, only one will be submitted, absolutely. And
okay.
I can assure you of that.
So for today's purposes, for our consideration of 85 through 88, only one of those would be submitted, and then we'll take care of
yes.
any other okay,
right.
at a future hearing. All right, anyone have any questions on the single subject? I mean, it's doing a few things, but I think they're all related to the permit. Why don't you tell us what you think the single subject is?
I would say for all of 85 through 88, they create a setback requirement for new oil and gas wells from occupied structures. And everything else in there is definitional, interpretive, or implementational.
Okay. Is there anyone else here who wishes to speak on this? No?
Okay. I think I'm going to ask a question. Mr. Ramey, how on three of these, not 88 but the others, how is specifying that this setback requirement is not a taking necessarily and properly connected to the setback requirement?
I mean, that I think, Mr. Gallander, is implementational. In other words, I guess the best way to put this is the setback requirements that were being created in those particular measures were stating that under the Colorado Constitution, and limited to that, I should say, we're not addressing federal law here, is not to be deemed the act that we're the regulation that we're implementing in these measures will not be deemed to be a taking under other constitutional provisions of the Colorado Constitution. So I think it's interpretive and implementational. I don't know if you're angling toward whether that's a separate subject or not, but I don't know how, if you were to argue that that was a separate subject, what you'd basically be saying is we would have to adopt a measure like this without that provision and then have a wholly separate measure that says that other measure we adopted does not constitute a taking. And I would respectfully submit that they're part and parcel of the same thing.
I guess what I would ask is, are there conceivably situations where a person could be completely unable to access their already existing mineral rights due to this setback requirement and receive no compensation for that?
Should a situation like that occur, I would submit that there would be a federal right under which that could be addressed. Under the Colorado Constitution, I can't quite envision how the situation you just described would occur, but let's say that it does, where somebody felt at some level that a taking to which they were entitled to just compensation existed, they would certainly have the federal constitutional right to pursue that. All we're saying here is that this regulation is not to be deemed a taking under the Colorado constitutional definition of a taking.
All right. I have a bit of a concern that I wonder if, well, I guess if we put in the title, someone might not be surprised, but if such a situation could arise, I would wonder if someone voting on this would have a reasonable expectation that something like that could happen. But again, maybe that's delving too far into effects. So I'll leave further discussion if anyone wants to bring it up in a rehearing and move on.
I wish you wouldn't make these invitations for a rehearing, but
at any rate. Doesn't matter whether we invite people or not. It
was not an invitation, merely an assumption.
I think I once had a problem with one of these measures that sort of had its own substantive thing. I don't even remember what it was about, but it had a substantive change, and then it basically sort of created its own exception to the election rules about who gets priority, basically saying if this and the measure and this other measure pass, this one wins no matter what. And I had a problem with that. On a single subject grounds, that you were sort of amending something in a very surprising kind of way that was only related because you really wanted, you know, it was related in that sense. This is a little bit like that, but I think less, I mean, I can see Mr. Gellender's point, certainly. It could surprise someone who might say, well, you know, look, I'd like to impose these regulations, but do so with the understanding that kind of the normal rules about if it take someone's property that, you know, they should be entitled to just compensation under our state constitution and whatever federal claims there might be. So I can see this surprise idea, but I it seems connected enough, I guess, that I'm willing to find a single subject. So then I guess I'll go ahead and move that we find that number 85 constitutes a single subject.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So that passes unanimously, and we'll move to the title. I mean, I think that we could probably just say establishment of a statewide setback for new oil and gas wells. And
Madam Chair, can I make a few suggestions about
please
the title?
Do.
I don't mean to
no, go ahead.
Preempt the board. And let me. I do actually have a few suggestions
okay.
for this title, some of which add some things, some of which subtract. But let me give it a try, and then I'll shut up and let you all debate it. Number one, On the second line, after we talk about amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning the establishment of a statewide setback requiring new oil and gas wells, I would say after oil and gas wells, I would recommend that we insert the phrase including the use of hydraulic fracturing, because hydraulic fracturing is obviously a focus of this. And I think it would benefit, it appears throughout the text of the measure itself, and I think it would benefit public, informing the public to include the same phrase that we have in the measure, including the use of hydraulic fracturing on the second line.
Why didn't you use fracking?
Yeah.
Because I would have catchphrase accusations coming at me in every which direction. And if the board proposes fracking, I will adamantly object to that. But hydraulic fracturing, I think, is a neutral term. People know what it means, but it doesn't come laden with the stuff that fracking comes
so
with.
I just wanted to suggest, I think I agree that with including that the idea somewhere, but maybe not right there. That statement of the single subject is already one of the longest I've ever seen, and making it longer seems like a bad idea. I was going to suggest shortening that part of it and maybe adding a little bit to the, you know, actual what it does material aspects part. Just my suggestion.
Why don't you keep going? Okay. Let us know what else. Yeah.
Okay. I think actually that's the only thing. Well, not quite the only thing I was going to suggest adding. Down in the end of the third line, going on to the fourth line, and I guess I would defer to the board on that, and Mr. Gallander probably has a draftsman of these things, but the phrase defining oil and gas operations and occupied structure to me seems unnecessary.
Yeah.
I mean, enough said about that. I think that could just simply be dropped. Finally, the last phrase where we're dealing with the taking issue again. I'm going to suggest that I don't think it's necessary in the title to cite sections by number and article of the Colorado Constitution. Nobody except lawyers know what that is. But I do think we want to state Colorado Constitution, because we don't want to suggest that we're amending the United States Constitution or attempting to do that here. So I guess what I would suggest is that starting on the fifth line, it could read, establishing that the statewide setback is not a taking of private property under the Colorado Constitution. Just let it go at that.
Okay. Weighing in on those comments, first I would say I completely agree with the taking out the defining language. As well as the section 14 and 15 references. I don't know that it's necessary to specify this applies just to the Colorado Constitution. I mean, there's a supremacy clause, it's existing law. I had when I was working a draft just saying that establishing that the statewide setback is not a taking of private property requiring just compensation.
May I respond to that in two ways? Right. Number one, I'll just alert the board that using the phrase does not require just compensation, I don't like. We know what that means, but there's sort of, for somebody who's, again, not dealing with takings clauses and things as a profession, denying someone just compensation sounds ugly. So,
well, I can understand why you don't want it in there, but that's what it does, right?
Well, I would suggest that by saying it's not a taking under the Colorado Constitution, that accomplishes the point.
If we're going to take part of it out, I'd take the taking part out, which is like goofy lawyer talk.
Well,
what else just compensation is.
Well, Mr. Domenico, I might argue with that, because I think there
I certainly don't like the just compensation piece. I was going to go in a slightly different direction with you, but I think I'll stop there. I think that ladens the title with a concept that, frankly, is negative to the proponents. Let me come back to that. Let me get my second point in before I totally forget it. Mr. Gallander, there was a period in the past where, you know, and I have seen measures come before the title board that seek specifically and directly to amend the United States Constitution. And I've made the argument before this board that it's unfair to suggest that the voters of the state have the power to do that through their initiative process. There was one measure one year that was going to that literally and directly suggested amending the First Amendment through this process. And actually, I can't remember how that issue came out. I think the board just let it go. But I still have the same concern that to suggest that we're to allow a suggestion to exist through a title that we're amending more than we can amend, I think is a disservice. So I would, to the voters, so I would like to limit to the Colorado Constitution. And Mr. Domenico, back to your point, I'm jumping around a little bit. I hear what you're saying. Just compensation or compensation perhaps is part of the remedial concept of a taking. I think the word just, putting in, as it does now, does not require just compensation, suggests in the title that somehow there is some compensation that would be due and just and is not being provided. And frankly, I think I can make a pretty persuasive argument that the sort of regulatory action that's being taken here would not even rise to the level of a regulatory taking in most and perhaps in any situations, even under the Colorado Constitution. And I'm afraid if we put a phrase like that in there, we're suggesting that it almost always will and that we've got our hands in somebody's pockets. And I don't think that's fair to the proponents.
Well, but Section 3 is part of the measure because presumably they want to avoid the possibility that they'll have to pay just compensation. I think that's a taking is, to me, a more legalistic term than the idea of payment of just compensation. And so if we're going to shorten that, I'd be inclined to take out the taking language and just leave the compensation language. But
well, and I think I mean, I think we could fix it by taking out the just part of the compensation. I mean, that doesn't really mean anything to anybody but us. And, you know, I think that he does make an argument that word just, you know, justice, just, I mean, it could be considered catchy in the catchphrase way.
Actually, I think it would be a catchphrase.
Yeah.
Detriment to the proponents.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that it's a catchphrase, but I don't know that the word "just" adds anything except in a legal context, but not in the, you know, not to a voter. It could be viewed the way the proponent is suggesting, which is not our goal in setting a title.
I suggest, and I'm okay with that thing. I suggest phrasing things a little bit more in the positive and just saying, establishing that the statewide setback, and we can talk later about whether the taking language is needed, is not a taking of private property that requires compensation. And then if we want under the Colorado Constitution, I'm okay with that. That's
the only others. The only problem I have with that is this does a little bit more than that. I mean, the way I read it is you can't pass a statute that would require compensation, I think. Maybe you could. Maybe.
I think so.
But it says, shall not be considered a taking or nor require payment of compensation. So, I don't know. I guess I don't know that we need to go out of our way to avoid for the proponents the negative implications of part of what they're trying to do. I mean, this is what it does. whether people like it or not is kind of the point we're supposed to be trying to get across to them. Let them decide. I'm fine with getting rid of just, I would probably leave in the language about the Constitution for the reasons Mr. Ramey suggested. Otherwise, I'd probably leave it.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I don't think we would have an objection to the way you stated it, and I think Mr. Domenico just said the same thing, and that is take out the word just. I mean, the word, having it in there suggests we're doing something that's not just, and
right.
Obviously we don't like it. And I do think that that would make it a catchphrase, and we'd be fighting over that. If whether the word taking in there stays in, I guess I would not object to what Mr. Domenico says. If that's legalistic word, we could take that out and just say we'll not require compensation under the Colorado Constitution. Yeah. Or you can leave taking in either way.
Well, why don't we make Mr. Gallander's change about that requires, just to clean that up, and then where do you stand, Mr. Gallander, on the taking word?
Well, if you make that change, it's...
Oh.
Now you kind of need it.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it was your language, so you must like getting rid of the word.
Where did my language go? Yeah, I mean, I just have some general sort of cleanup, but down here... Yeah, on this, I just had... Well, what I had originally was establishing the statewide setback as not a taking of private property requiring just compensation. So either that requires or requiring, same thing, really.
Okay.
I actually have a brief sort of subject matter question for Mr. Ray, if he knows. The language up in the single source about that require a permit, are there any new oil and gas wells that don't?
Not that I know of, but I may not.
Because that language got added, and I don't, I mean, during the review and comment process, apparently, and I'm not sure sort of why or if it matters. Do the proponents have any thoughts on that?
I can say that was in response to a review and comment question.
Well, I mean, I just thought, you know, going back to the subject, I mean, I would say we'd be better off establishment of a statewide setback for new oil and gas wells and then in connection therewith and put all that later. I just think the subject line is not good.
That was what I was going to suggest, too, was basically just what you said.
While you're doing this, Madam Chair, please don't forget that we'd like to put including hydraulic fracturing.
Sure. Yeah, and I think that goes well, and that's back to Mr. Domenico's point that if we keep the subject line clean, then we can put the details later mm-hmm. without confusing.
Right.
So we just move that down, and then we say requiring a permit, and then rather than defining, we could either put including fracking up above, or we can say something about not fracking.
Fracturing.
Right? Yeah, I'm going to use it shorthand, but we will use the word hydraulic fracturing in the title. Just a semicolon after structure. Oh, requiring a permit. And then how do you all want to deal with the hydraulic fracturing?
Well, it's not a permit. It doesn't have to be located anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
So it would, I think... You could say something there where you say,
Requiring a permit for oil and
gas. Requiring any new oil and gas well, including those using hydraulic fracturing. I don't know if you want to use turn that a couple of commas around that or not. I'm probably okay either way. But that's, I think. I think that's pretty good. When we're ready, I have a question about the next line.
All right.
Well, so my question about the next line is, A, whether it's necessary, the bit about the homeowner, and B, if I'm reading Section 2 right, which does, that tracks Section 2, which says a homeowner, the owner of a home may waive it only with regard to the owner's home. But obviously, occupied structures is a lot broader than homes. And so my question has been, you could read it either way. One, does this mean basically anybody who owns, you know, some other building, an office building or a school, a warehouse, can't waive it at all? Or...
In context, I think we do have to say that because 88 has a broader than the homeowner and it applies to all those other folks.
So
I think it differentiates from the rest.
Well, that's my question. So if I own a warehouse, I can't waive this, but if it's my home, I can? That's what I'm curious about.
Mr. Domenico, I think Mr. Callender just identified the issue coming out of the review and comment hearings. Again, that question arose. And the text of the measures, except for 88, I think, says that the waiver can only come from a homeowner with regard to their home. 88 is broader and I think would scoop up most of the other situations that you're describing, and the proponent's going to have to make a decision of which measure they want to run with. But I think we're sort of required to stay with the text of the various measures, and this one only allows a waiver for homeowners of their home.
Okay. So I guess my question would be, if that line weren't in there, I'm not sure I would read it as saying, I mean, I would think that people might be able to waive it generally. I'm just not sure how that would work out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, in a zoning context, once you got a setback, you got a setback. And if you want to get a waiver, you can't do it yourself. You have to, you know, get the government to give you the waiver. So
right.
I think it does become an important part of the measure, and especially because the difference in these measures is going to be essentially that. I think it would be important for people to know that you're not, that they would have the right to waive it as to their own home, so they understand that that's their choice if they want to allow that development and if they want to maybe make a deal with the oil and gas people or whatever. I mean,
okay. Okay, that's fine.
Could that is not a taking of private property requiring compensation? Could that be an implied saying it is a giving of private property requiring compensation?
I'm not inclined to do that.
No, I mean, taking is a little bit of a legal word, as I mentioned, but I'm not sure how to fix it other than going back to what we were talking about before and rejected.
You have anything?
Not on that issue, no.
On anything else?
I think I might just even further shorten the... I mean, look, to me, and maybe this is... It seems to me it's a setback requirement, not just a setback. I think in the single subject, I'd get rid of the establishment of and just say concerning a statewide setback requirement for new oil and gas wells.
That's fine.
I don't know that I'm going to convince anyone else on this. I actually don't think we need the language regarding hydraulic fracturing. I mean, we're covering any oil and gas well that encompasses ones that do it by hydraulic fracturing, and I don't know what value it adds besides more words.
May I respond to that, Madam Chair?
Sure. I don't agree with him, but go ahead.
I'm going to reply.
No.
I would just say, Mr. Gallagher, I mean, I certainly take your point, but I don't think there's any mystery behind these measures that this is largely about hydraulic fracturing, and I think the public has a right to know that for better or worse. And it may be, from our perspective, it may end up being worse. I don't know. But to conceal that and suggest that somehow it involves something else, I think the title should disclose it. The measure is very specific in the language of the measure about that, and I'd like to bring it into the title. So.
Well, and my problem with it is a little different than that, and that is just that there's so much kind of information, misinformation, you know, people trying to distinguish, well, hydraulic fracturing is not really drilling, and so it's, you know, I mean, from the other side of it, would somebody think, oh, we're just talking about new drilling and we're not talking about fracturing because, you know, the advertising's told me that fracturing isn't the same. So, you know, I mean, it has been confused enough, and I'm not saying I really understand, you know, the geology of the whole thing, but I think it becomes important enough to mention, and it could be confusing to people. And they could accuse us of trying to hide that fact.
Madam Chair, I would agree. I mean, it is the text of the measure makes it clear that that is central to what we're doing. I don't want to obfuscate the fact that this is about hydraulic fracturing in large part.
Well, I said I was willing to leave it in there, and I am, but the... The discussion has made me think that it's starting to sound, even without using fracking, like a catchphrase, that we're using it as shorthand to help the public debate, which is not really what we're supposed to be doing here. But I'm willing to leave it in there, although I agree with Mr. Gallagher that it, by definition, any new oil and gas well includes those using hydraulic fracturing or whatever else they might use, and isn't really necessary. On the other hand, at this point, I'm willing to leave it in there, but I don't think it's our job to sort of help differentiate, you know, this kind of drilling from another. Our job is to describe the measure and what it does, and it's other people's job to clarify what that means or what's important about it.
Mr. Domenico, if I may, Madam Chair, I would agree 100% with everything you just said, were it not for the fact that in the text of the measure, the proponents go out of their way to make it very clear that this is what we're looking at. And to leave that out of the title is supposed to be informative, I think would really obfuscate the point of the measure. And I really, respectfully, I don't think it rises to the level of a catchphrase unfairly influencing the debate one way or the other. I mean, hydraulic fracturing is what it is. Now, we start attaching pejorative words to it, or use a term that gets used in a pejorative fashion all the time, like fracking, then I think we cross that line.
Okay.
But I don't know what else you call hydraulic fracturing other than do what?
Well, you call it a new oil and gas well.
I don't see.
Mr. Gallander's point.
But then I think you are obfuscating, not intentionally, but I think the title would then obfuscate the primary purpose of this measure. And again, the language of the measure goes out of its way to say that. It would be different had we not said that in the language of the measure, I think.
Maybe add those using the hydraulic fracturing process. I think that hydraulic fracturing, there's drilling, there's several different parts to the whole process.
Well,
I mean, it's really up to you too. You know where I stand on it.
I mean, in reconsidering, yeah, I'm not feeling, and I have been on other initiatives arguing for 2 days that incorporating a little bit of purpose into these is not the end of the world. So I feel a little bit on the wrong side of my own ideology and not loving the inclusion of hydraulic fracturing here. I guess it doesn't rise. I think I agree it doesn't rise to the level of catchphrase, although it is sort of unnecessary and starts trending in that direction a bit. But all that considered, I'll reconsider and sort of swallow my objections to it.
Right. You have anything else you want to talk about with the
question? I don't know.
Do we, I forget our usual practice with numbers in the titles. That was my only thought, is whether we would want to use,
be shorter.
Numerals instead of spelling it out. I think normally in a title as opposed to a measure,
yeah,
we do, but.
I do, I think we do too.
I think the only other thing it has, whether we on line 4 can just say for instead of with regard to. And that's all I've got.
Okay. All right, let me read it. An amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning a statewide setback requirement for new oil and gas wells, and in connection therewith requiring any new oil and gas well, including those using hydraulic fracturing, to be located at least 1,500 feet from the nearest occupied structure, authorizing a homeowner to waive the setback for the homeowner's home, and establishing that the statewide setback is not a taking of private property requiring compensation under the Colorado Constitution.
Right. I would move that we set the title as just read and as appears on the screen for proposed initiative 2013-2014, number 85.
Right.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
That takes us to item 13 on the agenda, which is proposed initiative 2013-2014, number 86. Mr. Ramey, you want to just make your record and then tell us what's different?
Certainly, Madam Chair, Edward Ramey. Again, representing the proponents, designated representatives, Mr. Diamond, Ms. Leahy are present, and I'm substituting for Ms. Tierney, I guess I should say again. Number 86 is very, very, very similar to 85. The primary differences would be the size of the setback, which becomes 2,000 feet under 86 instead of 1,500. There is also a new, it's not a new definition, but a new identifier term for a definition in 86. Instead of oil and gas operations, it refers to oil and gas development. which is in response to review and comment memorandum, and I can address that with the board, and also the a waiver letter for another initiative that addressed that if the board wants to know where that came from. But the definition is the same, so basically we've taken the same thing and called it, instead of an elephant, we've called it a pachyderm, but it's exactly the same thing. And that is it. This has the not a taking language in it. Otherwise, I think it's the same. So I'll stop there at the jurisdictional level before getting to the title. Hopefully before getting to the title.
I think we've had a pretty detailed discussion. I would move that we find a single subject for proposed initiative 2013-14, number 86.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right, so we want to just use the language from last time, Steve, and then put in 2000.
The only thing changing is the setback requirement, which is 2,000.
Yes.
Right.
We'll
talk about whether we're going to change the other.
Well, the oil and gas development, if development. You want to change that.
We didn't reference the definitions once we actually, with what we actually set, so I think we'll be over.
Yeah.
I think we got rid of that, right?
Yeah. I think we just need to
change the number.
Yeah.
Because we got rid of any reference.
Okay, so as it reads now, it's an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning a statewide setback requirement for new oil and gas wells, and in connection therewith, requiring any new oil and gas well, including those using hydraulic fracturing, to be located at least 2,000 feet from the nearest occupied structure, authorizing a homeowner to waive the setback for the homeowner's home and establishing that the statewide setback is not a taking of private property requiring compensation under the Colorado Constitution. Mr. Ramey, you have any comments on it?
No, I think that is fine as the title reads.
Brief technical point. I'm afraid this will go back to 85, too. I think we need a semicolon after home instead of a comma on line 4. And we can just go back for 85 for that as well. With that one change, then I would move that the board set the title for proposed initiative 2013-14, number 86, as just read and with the semicolon as it appears on the screen.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Passes unanimously, and that takes us to agenda item 14, which is proposed initiative 2013-2014, number 87. And Mr. Ramey, you want to go ahead and make your record, and then we'll talk about what's different in this one.
Certainly, Madam Chair. Edward Ramey, substituting for Martha Tierney, representing the proponents and the designated representatives. Ms. Leahy and Mr. Diamond are present. 87 is, again, essentially the same thing, except in this case, again, the term development is used instead of operations in the text of the measure, which would not affect the title, and the setback length has changed to 2,640 feet. Otherwise, I think it's identical.
I'm going to do the single subject first.
Sorry.
I would move that we find a single subject for proposed initiative 2013-14, number 87.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. So we'll wait for Stephen to put up the language, unless it's already. Oh, we're just going to change the. Okay.
So just to question, should we just say a half mile?
Yes. Well, I was going to ask the same question at any rate. So,
have any issues with half mile?
We can live with half mile, absolutely. I hadn't done the math. But
God, I'm so glad I didn't ask where you came up with that number. I would have sounded so stupid.
I recall Mr. Domenico has a Samsung calculator
right.
with him.
The,
so
the
I'm
nerds
so
on the title board or get exposed.
Even
exactly.
Converting feet to miles.
I guess we could say 0.8 kilometers if we really wanted to.
Oh, no.
Right. 8 laps on the track.
All right. So the way it reads right now, an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning a statewide setback requirement for new oil and gas wells and in connection therewith requiring any new oil and gas well, including those using hydraulic fracturing, to be located at least 1/2 mile from the nearest occupied structure, authorizing a homeowner to waive the setback for the homeowner's home and establishing that the statewide setback is not a taking of private property requiring compensation under the Colorado Constitution.
I would move that we set the title for proposed initiative 2013-14, number 87, as just read and as it appears on the screen.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. That takes us to agenda item number 15, which is proposed initiative 2013-2014, number 88. Mr. Ramey.
Madam Chair, Edward Ramey, substituting for Martha Tierney, representing the proponents of number 88 and the designated representatives, Mr. Diamond, Ms. Leahy, are present. This measure is similar except for two things, similar to 85 through 87, except for two primary things. Number one, the not-a-taking provision is not part of number 88. And secondly, as Mr. Gallander, I think, noted earlier, or Madam Chair, perhaps you noted it, the waiver provision is different here. It doesn't apply to just a homeowner in their home. It deals with, and the title, by the way, that has been proposed does not have the correct language in it from the text, but it deals with a surface estate, owner of a surface estate of real property, waiving the setback only with regard to an occupied structure located on that owner's property. So it's the title would have to, I think, if we get to, assuming we get to the title, would have to reflect that.
I would move that we find a single subject for proposed initiative 2013-14, number 88.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Let's do the 2000. Take out the, looks like you already did, taking, and then we can talk about the.
Well, then
oh,
he's
we didn't.
Got the
old
staff draft. Do you want to go so to what?
Yeah, let's
yeah,
go
we
back
need
to,
be
to
back on
what we.
Yeah.
Which was the
2000? 86. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Any of them.
He doesn't have to do 2000 again.
Can handle it.
All right, and then take out the lines 5 and 6. Take those out. And then up on line 4, that's where the and will be, and then we'll talk about what that language is going to say.
And I think we just say authorizing, I think we probably have to just track this language, the owner of the surface estate of real property.
Well, if someone has a better way.
Oh, I would just say property owner, I think. I mean,
okay.
Because I understand the concern and why it's probably in the measure, but I'm trying to picture. I'm trying to picture any other property owner that would somehow waive it. I guess my point is I can't think of anybody who would have a structure on the owner's property that wouldn't qualify.
Mr. Domenico, Madam Chair, my only thought would be...
I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Invasion.
You say people suddenly came in both doors and they look very mean. I don't know.
Showed up.
Yeah.
It was sort of strange the way they came in on opposite sides.
The only other alternative, and Mr. Domenico, I defer completely to the board on this, that a property owner, I suppose you could use landowner.
Even better. I don't, that makes sense to me, I think. Either way, yeah.
Michael Berger.
I think I would go with the indefinite article A instead of the, but in front of landowner.
Mm-hmm.
Authorizing. A landowner to waive the setback. Yeah, I'm not quite sure that's right. To waive the setback.
Whatever. I missed that.
Maybe we just say waive the, well. I mean, we'd almost have to put it up there in the
It's a little bit subject. Harder than. Yeah. What would we have to put in the subject?
Setback for a building or?
Oh.
You know what I mean? It's not the setback from the land, is it? It's the setback from
right,
the structure.
Right, that's what I was trying to figure. I mean,
if you put it up
well,
above...
Well, we just said a home fine. Before. Why are we not just saying for any occupied structure?
Yeah, so it would be for it only for a structure located.
For a structure located
I guess.
On the property? Or were we going to change that to... Property, or did we just
I think I might still prefer property after you know, authorizing a property owner to waive the setback for a structure located on the owner's property.
Okay.
And actually, we. Well, this is interesting. I don't know if we actually have to say occupied.
It's. Right. I mean, the...
Theoretically, you can't waive it if you have, like, I don't know, a ghost town sitting there or something.
Well, but it actually, the setback
then
wouldn't
it doesn't apply.
Oh, that's right. To a ghost
that's right.
Town,
sorry.
So.
Right.
Good point.
Well, but that... I mean, you're right.
Yeah.
Little, you don't need to waive it for anything other than an occupied structure, but...
Right.
So that...
Actually...
So, I mean, I would be comfortable just saying for a structure or structures. You could have two occupied structures on your property.
Structures, take out the A and put in the...
Well, one way to...
Oh.
We could change it, authorizing property owners to waive the setback for structures located on their property. Might be one way to solve that. I don't know if it helps, but...
Just from my own background, we usually just use the singular when we're drafting. I would just say a property owner to waive the setback for any structure.
Hmm.
But
okay.
That's fine. Any structure
located on your property.
Now,
or his or her. Well,
the nightmare of of using their for a singular possessive.
Hence the owners.
The owner.
Yeah. Which is just inelegant, but that makes it perfect for the title board.
Exactly.
Well, it could be a corporate owner, so the his or her thing doesn't work either.
Right.
All right. So the way it reads right now is an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning a statewide setback requirement for new oil and gas wells, and in connection therewith requiring any new oil and gas well, including those using hydraulic fracturing, to be located at least 2,000 feet from the nearest occupied structure, and authorizing a property owner to waive the setback for any structure located on the owner's property.
So I guess it's to me.
Go for it.
Mm-hmm.
I move that we set the title for proposed initiative 2013-14 number 88 as just read and as it appears on the screen.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. That takes us to agenda item number 16, which is proposed initiative 2013-2014 number 90.
We'll take 3 minutes.
Oh, we're going to take a 3 minute break.
Thank you.
years.
Back on. You're right. All right. Okay, we are back on the record. This is proposed initiative 2013-2014, number 90. Mr. Ramey, if you want to go ahead and make your record.
Yes, Madam Chair. Edward Ramey, substituting for Martha Tierney this morning. With regard to measure 2013-2014, number 90, designated representatives, Ms. Leahy, Mr. Diamond are also present this morning. And as a preface, I think we're going to end up doing something similar to what we did before, at best for us, and that is that we'll deal with 90 and then their various iterations of 90, which one, 91, 92, and 93.
All right. Anyone have any questions? Regarding the single subject? Why don't you tell us what you think the single subject of this one is?
I guess I would probably inartfully say that this measure involves enhancement of power of local governments to regulate oil and gas development.
Anyone have any questions?
I don't think I do. This has a little bit of the same problem I discussed before on number 89, I guess, but it's much narrower in the kind of substantive part, so I'm less concerned that the change in relationship between state and local government is a problem, so I think I'm comfortable it's a single subject.
You want to make a motion?
Sure. So I'll move that we find that proposed initiative 2013-14, number 90, is a single subject.
Second.
All those in favor? Aye. All right. That moves us to the title.
Madam Chair, just from our perspective, this title looks okay to us. I'm sure there are going to be some changes, except down at the end, of course.
I was going to say.
Mr. Domenico is making us appear as unjust, awful people.
All right, I think put section three in there. You did.
If we could do a change to the last phrase, I think we can track what was done on the other measures, which
yes.
Basically is taking just out and referring to the Colorado Constitution, so it doesn't look like we're amending the United States Constitution.
Yeah, why don't we just take that language, Stephen, and plug it in the last line, and then we'll start figuring out what to do with the...
Well, that's not there.
It was in 86. It was in...
There we go.
Yeah, it was in 85 too.
What, just that portion?
Yeah, just that.
We're going to have to change it a bit once you get it in because
right.
That refers to the setback.
Yeah. So why don't we say, don't delete it yet. Why don't we say that specifying that such local laws are not a taking. So see that first language. We may change that, but at least we get the concept in there. Okay, and you got a typo in laws. All right. All right, how does everyone feel about the subject?
I think it tries to do a little too much.
Yeah.
As usual, my position. I think you just say, get rid of sort of the introductory part of it and stick with something like concerning local government regulation. Of something like that.
Yeah, I like it.
So I'm asking this, I think, mostly out of curiosity. But could a local government just declare that all the mineral rights within its borders belong to the city or whatever, the local government, under this?
In other words, are you asking if a local government could just say, we, the local government, now own all
right.
mineral rights?
And we're going to develop it the way we think is best, if at all.
I guess in response, I would say I would love to be hired to challenge the local government that attempted to do that under this measure.
All right. I'm trying
to
figure out the reach of... It's obviously not kind of the main idea behind it, yeah. But I'm just curious, especially with Section 3 in there, you know, what it would mean.
This is a regulatory measure, and I think the measure refers to regulation, not governmental confiscation of private property. So that would not be the intent of this measure. And somebody someday undoubtedly would make such an argument. I hope you and I would be on the same side of addressing that.
What did we do yesterday with local? We had that discussion about, did we leave local government? Because we talked about what did that mean.
Well, that one was a little funky.
Well, it was, but I'm just wondering.
But yes, I think we did leave.
We left local. Okay.
Oh, you mean the other issue about we had a bunch of local...
Yeah.
I think we left it in the right to local self-government.
Right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we left that in there. But
because then we got into the discussion on the other environmental one that had to do with any local government. Okay. But we said local.
Right.
Okay.
And we also got ourselves confused about what counts as a local government for the election one.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
But I think we're best off just leaving it. So this goes back to my comment on, and I can't remember which one it was now, about authorizing local laws is really not the kind of key switch. It's making local laws that are more restrictive.
Yeah, so let's go back to 89. Stephen, wasn't that 89?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I finally got a number right.
Right, it was. Okay. You did.
I also, before we do too much with that, I just want to weigh in. Are we okay with what says right?
See that last language on line 5? If the state or local laws conflict, that language. Just cut it and put it over there so we have it for discussion purposes. In number 4 after the, I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
the other one specifically said laws and regulations. The staff draft here just says laws, which I don't know is inclusive enough. The actual measure here says laws, regulations, ordinances, or charter provisions. If we're comfortable just saying laws or laws and regulations and that covers everything, then I'm probably reasonably okay with that. But the thought I had was to say something like, because up top here it talks about authorizing, I might say allowing, it doesn't really matter, local laws that prohibit or limit oil and gas development, and then referencing everything as prohibitions and limits throughout the rest of the title, instead of doing the long laundry list or the sort of under-inclusive statement of just laws or laws and regulations.
I mean, I don't have a problem with the language we used in 89. I don't think we need a laundry list of ordinances, and I mean, those are laws.
I tend to think kind of regulation is broad enough to cover what we need to cover. And so, but on line three, saying something like authorizing local laws or regulations, laws and regulations, I don't know which. And then I think your suggestion was that then on like lines four, five, and seven, where we'd say laws, you'd say something like,
yeah, like
prohibitions or limits or
exactly
regulations. Yeah.
I mean, if the feeling is that laws and regulations covers it all, which it probably does, I mean, charter and ordinance, both certainly ordinance and probably charter falls under law, and regulations covers everything else, and I'm probably just fine with that. Just since we had the prohibition or limitation or limit language on line three anyways.
Right.
Whether doing that worked better. I don't feel strongly about it.
I mean, regulation to me, obviously in the legal administrative law setting, has a specific meaning. Right. But in the kind of lay meaning, to me is the broadest term that would even encompass laws, I think, are a type of regulation. If you ask, you know, if you ask a citizen, one thing I might suggest is where we use laws there, where it's highlighted, then on five, then on seven, to actually change that to regulation or go with laws and regulation.
I would do laws and regulations. I think that I don't know that the common understanding that regulations include laws is quite as common as you might think it is, especially in a political environment where there's a lot of noise made about excessive regulation.
Right, which to me would include, well, I think that includes, when I complain about that every day, I include statutory law too. But I'm fine either way. I mean, it's probably best the way you suggested.
Why don't we go ahead and collapse it, Stephen, and I'll read it, and we'll see if we have other comments.
Madam Chair, before you do that, can I address one thing?
Yeah.
We have that other change that we weren't just discussing, where we incorporated the language on lines four and five and declaring the state and local law regulations conflict the more restrictive governs. And we still have after that.
Oh, yeah.
Authorizing local laws. I'm going to recommend that we stick with something closer to the staff draft language. And my concern is this. I don't think What we are doing here is authorizing local laws and regulations that are more restrictive and protective of the items listed there in this measure. Incorporating the other language, I think it almost suggests that if a state law were more restrictive per se, it would trump. And I don't think, for example, I mean, I can see how a statement like that could suggest that, well, the state could trump local zoning laws or something of that nature, zoning measures, zoning codes. Okay. And that's not the intent of this. I don't think
but
so.
But it is what it says.
Well, I think the staff draft probably comes closer. Now, I'm going to have to read it again with Mr. Gallander while we're
Well, I think it would work better if we moved the what we've inserted there to after the what's now on 4 and they're on 5 and 6. It just makes more sense.
And Mr. Domenico, Madam Chair, I guess where I'm going, I suppose Mr. Gallander, say I don't have any objection to the move that was just suggested by Mr. Domenico, but I think, and I'm going to carefully read it here to make sure I'm right, that the staff draft more accurately reflected the scope and intent of this measure than the incorporated phrase from the other measures, which were a bit different. Though, Mr. Gallander, I would agree that we need to be vigilant to the language of the measure and not whatever I may say it means at this point.
Well, I mean, this is the last line of this measure is exactly the same as the last line of number 89, with the exception that the definition of a local law is broader here, which isn't really relevant to us. And so I think this is right. I mean, you wouldn't want, right? You do want, for example, there are plenty of localities that at this point don't have these kind of regulations, but the state has some that obviously aren't satisfactory to a lot of people. But you would want the state to take precedence in those places. But in other places, you want the local. I mean, I think that's important. I do think it's better this way.
I guess, Mr. Domenico, and obviously we're going to reach a conclusion of this. I'm looking particularly at the language in Section 2 of 90 that says local laws, regulations, ordinances or charter provisions may be more restrictive and protective of a community's health, safety, welfare, and environment than laws that may be enacted at the state level, basically. That's the language of the measure, and I guess I'm trying to
Right, and so that's what's now on line 4 and 5, which I don't think we need to take out. But then the line we added is the last line of the measure in Section 4,
okay,
which I don't think is totally redundant. You know, the problem your proponents, I think, are trying to solve is, from their perspective, now a local government can pass these more restrictive regulations, but the state's position is that, at least on a lot of things, the state's rule governs whether or not it's more restrictive. And that would no longer be true. I don't think they're just redundant with one another. And I think the most important from a legal matter is making the sort of rule that no matter who passed it, the more restrictive is governs.
Mr. Domenico, reading the two together, I guess I won't quibble with you about that. If you limit the effect of the second phrase to the scope of the first, I think we're okay, probably.
Yeah, I guess my point is your clients would be very unhappy with you if you just somehow took out the last line of the measure during the drafting process. because then I could still make the same arguments we're going to be making, right, in these cases that are going on now. Whereas this would sort of end those cases, I think. And so I think that's the point, and that's why I think it should be in there.
I don't object to that. Reading the two phrases together, I think, is accurate. So I wouldn't quibble with Mr. Domenico's statement.
Right, why don't you go ahead and collapse it, and I'll read it, and then we'll see if we have anything else. All right, so it's an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning local government regulation of oil and gas development and in connection therewith authorizing local laws and regulations that prohibit or limit oil and gas development, including hydraulic fracturing, authorizing local laws and regulations that are more restrictive and protective of a community's health, safety, welfare, and environment than state law, declaring that if state or local laws and regulations conflict, the more restrictive law or regulation governs, and specifying that such local laws and regulations are not a taking of private property requiring compensation under the Colorado Constitution.
Just a thought of so shorten things a bit. Where we say authorizing local laws and regulations, and I know we're all uncomfortable with that authorizing, that prohibit. Do we want to just say allowing local governments to prohibit or limit? No, up above, after the therewith.
I don't really have a problem with it. I don't think I had one with the prior version, but
yeah, that's fine. All right.
Good.
You wanna?
Sure. I would move that we set the title for proposed initiative 2013-14 number 90 as it appears on the screen.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right. That takes us to agenda item number 17. Proposed initiative 2013-2014 number 91. Do you want to just go ahead and make your record and then tell us what is different?
Madam Chair, Edward Ramey, substituting for Martha Tierney, representing the proponents, designated representatives, Ms. Leahy and Mr. Diamond are present. Number 91 is basically identical to 90 with the exception of the use of the phrase in the measure itself, oil and gas operations instead of oil and gas development, which I don't think affects the title. And also it does not have the takings provision in it. Otherwise, it's identical. So if we get to the title, I'm assuming we can use something very similar to the title for 90.
Okay.
All right, I would move that we find a single subject for proposed initiative 2013-14, number 91.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right, that takes us to the title, which... Is that it? From 90?
Yes.
Okay, so...
The blue is the title from 90.
Okay, so...
And the red is what the staff draft was.
All right, so just take out the taking language.
The last.
Six. And then move your and we should be good. All right. So the way it reads right now, an amendment to the... Oh, sorry.
I just think to track the measure, we should just replace development with operations on lines 2 and 3.
Okay. You're correct. It does.
Yeah, we did.
That is reflected in this title.
Okay. So the way it reads now It's an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning local government regulation of oil and gas operations and in connection therewith allowing local governments to prohibit or limit oil and gas operations, including hydraulic fracturing, authorizing local laws and regulations that are more restrictive and protective of a community's health, safety, welfare, and environment than state law, and declaring that if state or local laws and regulations conflict, the more restrictive law or regulation governs.
Can I just raise a question that it's probably I should have raised earlier, or I think I mentioned it but didn't really do anything about it. Is there any reason to be concerned? We have at least two other measures that are different groups, seems apparent to me, offering similar measures. I've never quite understood what we're supposed to do in that circumstance to avoid the confusion that we're told to avoid in setting titles for similar measures. But number 75 and 82 both had to do with local government control of oil and gas and environmental issues. And I just wonder if do we need to look at those to make sure we're not going to have three or four things on the ballot that we've written titles that are somehow confusingly similar. I don't mean to be a pain, but I do wonder because there's a lot of overlap.
I guess I would say I'm happy to look at them. I wasn't on the board for 75 or 82, so it'd be new to me, but I'm happy to look.
Well, man, maybe we, now might not be the exact right time, but I just want to raise that question. I mean, one question is, I guess we can leave that to the adversarial process instead of us sort of doing it sua sponte and allow Mr. Ramey to go back and look, file his own rehearing if he's nervous about it, or the proponents in those measures, or anybody else, I guess. I'm not sure we need to sort of do it ourselves, but I just want to raise it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to come up in the if there is a rehearing.
That's fine with me. I mean, I'm happy to sort of rely on the somewhat adversarial process to help us make decisions like that, especially since we're getting so close to the end of the agenda.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's partly our duty. I think we've done our best. When you have similar measures, there's only so much you can do to make the titles different. I just wanted to raise it.
Okay. So are we ready for a motion that we set the title for proposed initiative 2013-14 number 91 as it now appears on the screen?
Second.
And all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right, that takes us to item number 18, which is proposed initiative 2013-2014, number 92. Mr. Ramey, why don't you make your record and tell us what we should change.
Okay. Edward Ramey, substituting for Martha Tierney, representing proponents of 2013-2014, number 92, the designated representatives. Mr. Diamond and Ms. Leahy are present. 92 is similar to 90 and 91. The only substantive differences are that 92 goes back to text similar to 90 by using the term oil and gas development in the text, and therefore, as Mr. Gallander pointed out, that would be reflected in the title. And it does not include a takings provision. So it's similar to 91 in that regard.
Okay. And we're going to change it to
development from operations.
Right.
Reverse the change there.
All right, so as it reads, it's an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning local government regulation of oil and gas development and in connection therewith, allowing local governments to prohibit or limit oil and gas development, including hydraulic fracturing, authorizing local laws and regulations that are more restrictive and protective of a community's health, safety, welfare, and environment than state law, and declaring that if state or local laws and regulations conflict, the more restrictive law or regulation governs.
I would move that we set the title for proposed initiative 2013-14 number 92 as just read and as it appears on the screen.
Second.
I don't think we ever did a single subject.
I think we might have done it so fast that we did.
I think we did a single subject, and then I got us off track with my...
That was before. I don't think we ever did it on this one. We didn't do it.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Maybe you're right.
No, we didn't do it. Okay, go. Yeah, do that.
Substitute
first.
For the prior motion, I move that we find a single subject for proposed initiative 2013-14, number 92.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So now.
Now, renewing the original motion, I would move that we set the title for proposed initiative 2013-14, number 92, as it now appears on the screen.
All second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Now let's go to number 93, which is the final item on the agenda, proposed initiative 2013-2014, number 93. We'll let you take your picture, and then we'll... All right. Go ahead, Mr. Ramey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Edward Ramey, substituting for Martha Tierney, representing proponents of 2013-2014, number 93, designated representatives. Ms. Leahy, Mr. Diamond are present. 93 is another iteration of the measures we've just talked about. It has the phrase oil and gas development in the measure, and therefore that would appear in the title. And this time it does have a taking provision in it.
Am I correct? The only difference between this and 90 is paragraph C of the legislative declaration of the purposes and findings.
I don't know. Let me find 90.
I think that's right. I just want to double check.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a difference in the text as well.
You want to do a single subject?
Sure. I move that we find a single subject for proposed initiative 2013-14, number 93.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Take 90.
Given the only change, I mean, I think if we... trust that the proponents are only submitting one from this batch, that it's just the identical
right.
title to 90.
I think it is. All right. And that title was an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning local government regulation of oil and gas development and in connection therewith allowing local governments to prohibit or limit oil and gas development, including hydraulic fracturing, authorizing local laws and regulations that are more restrictive and protective of communities' health, safety, and welfare and environment than state law, declaring that if state or local laws and regulations conflict, the more restrictive law or regulation governs, and specifying that such local laws and regulations are not a taking of private property requiring compensation under the Colorado Constitution.
I would move that we adopt the title for proposed initiative 2013-14, number 93, as just read and as it appears on the screen.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. That concludes our agenda. And the time is 11:50.